Broadcasting Company presents The Candid Microphone, the program that brings you the secretly recorded conversations and reactions of all kinds of people in all kinds of situations. No one ever knows when he's talking into the candid microphone.
Candidly speaking, do you like people?
Well, you'll hear them speaking candidly on Candid Microphone, the program that brings you short scenes from real life gathered each week in homes, offices, stores, in the street, wherever you yourself might meet the people whose voices you'll hear today. When the candid reporter meets them, he keeps a record of it, a record secretly made when their off-guard talk is picked up by a hidden microphone. Now, here are this week's intimate close-ups of people who might be your neighbors as they unknowingly spoke into the candid microphone. Here is some advice. If you ever take a short trip because the doctor said the change would do you good, don't make it in a taxi cab. Trying to get change from a cab driver is not what the doctor ordered. One of the first things a hacky learns before he gets his license to hunt pedestrians is that the leopard will change his spots before any self-respecting hacky will change a five. A cab driver worthy of the name would sooner break your arm than a $10 bill. When this cab driver stopped to pick up our friend with his hidden mic and a couple of valises that contained the concealed recording equipment, the cabbie didn't know it, but he was going for a little ride. Remember, this entire scene was recorded inside a taxi cab in the middle of a busy city.
Driver, we just want to go to 780 Park Avenue. That's just a little way up here, but we can't take all this heavy equipment. 780 Park Avenue.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Ah, that's fine. I'm sorry to make you go this short distance, but we have to because we got to get this equipment up there. That's swell. Right over here, this house right here. Thank you, that's swell. Fine, fine. Thank you, driver. Gee, we really appreciate that. It's just couldn't lug that stuff. Here you are, pal. Thank you.
All right, so all I got is a $20 bill?
That's all I have.
Well, where'd you expect me to get change of a $20 bill this time in the morning?
Well, I can't help it, driver. That's all I have.
Yeah, but there isn't a store in the neighborhood here.
Well, what can I do about it?
What can you do about it? What am I supposed to do about it?
Well, I don't know, driver. You're supposed to make change.
Yeah, this is a bank. The bank's not open till 9 o'clock, mister. Now, this is only 8:30 in the morning. This is a taxi cab.
Well, what can I do?
Well, there's not a store in the neighborhood. You want to wait, mister? I'll take you for a ride. We'll go for change.
No, I don't want to go for a ride.
Well,
this is where I want to go, driver.
Well, then I can't help it.
Why not?
You'll have to pay me. I'm sorry. You'll have to go to the store and get change.
Well, I don't want to go for any joy rides now, driver.
I know, but you should have used some common sense when you got into a taxi cab, mister, with a $20 bill.
Well, I just told you that this is all the far we were going.
Yeah, but you didn't tell me you had a $20 bill, did you?
What's the sense of getting mad about a thing like that? Haven't you been caught with a $20 bill in your life, driver?
Sure, mister, but at certain times of the day. After all, this is our busiest time of the morning. We can't be running around looking for $20 worth of change.
But every time I have a bill, a cab driver, I have to have an argument with the guy. Why?
Because that just goes to show you the business don't call for $20 bills.
Well, but are you liable to get caught that way,
well,
aren't you?
Well, you're right for $10
for
change.
All right, so why do you give me a big argument about it?
I'm not giving you a big argument. I'm just trying to explain to you. You fellas have always got the same habit. $20 bills. $20. Where are we supposed to get change for $20 bills?
Well, how much money did you start out with today?
$3 and change.
Well, so the first guy that got in, if he had a $5 bill, you'd be in trouble,
well,
wouldn't
you? Well, a $5 bill wouldn't be so bad already. I can scrape together a little change of a $5, but I can't scrape a $20 together, mister.
Did you give me a big argument? I didn't mean anything.
I know you didn't mean anything by it. You mean well. You all mean well, but don't you use a little common sense with your change?
Why don't you bring a bunch of money with you when you start? It's not going to be... You're not going to spend it.
Sure, mister. This ain't the house of Rothschild.
Well, I can't help it.
Well, you sit right back tight, mister. We'll go for some change.
Well, I don't want to go driving around.
You want me to take your stuff right back where you started from?
No, I don't want that either.
Well, then sit right back tight. What am I supposed to do here? All these customers waiting for taxi cabs. You hand me a $20 bill? What is that, my time, nothing?
Well, all right. How much is the fare?
$0.25.
Well, all right, here's a quarter. That's all I have.
That's all you have? Well, that's all right. Let me have it. It's better than wasting my time for an hour for another dime.
Well, I wanted to give you a tip.
I know them tips, mister. Another big dime ain't going to make me happy. Let's have it.
Breaking even in an argument with a cab driver is what is known as an unconditional victory.
Thank you.
fun is fun. But to the man who must mix his business with your pleasure, it's a serious thing. Take the caterer, for example. This unsung life of your party is always ready at the beckon of a lady finger. Whether you're throwing an intimate party for four or a shindig for the 400, the caterer can provide you with Mickey Thins or Crepe Suzette. Here is a portrait of a man who took his work so seriously, he never for a moment thought that the man with the hidden mic was kidding when he asked him to put on the dog for some cat.
We represent a firm which makes cat food. Food for cats. And in the near future, they're going to have a beauty contest to select the most beautiful cats in the whole country. And we'll have perhaps five winners of that contest from sections all over the country. And we would like to have a banquet for those five cats.
Well, I think that in this case, the best thing for us to do is to make this banquet a very elegant one, very artistic, most unusual, very colorful, and I'm sure that the cat would even enjoy it much better, since it's something they never saw or something that...
Surely, that's right. Well, these cats, it'll be a treat for them, and of course we want it to be very unusual. Now, what are some of the things that we might do?
Well, yeah, I was about to suggest some seafood dish, for instance.
Uh-huh. But can it be done very elegantly?
Well, being elegant, I think on the line of seafood, I mean, I know the cats would eat this too. I mean, we can have sort of a shellfish like lobster or a crab meat.
Uh-huh.
And have one for each cat in a very beautiful plate.
One crab shell stuffed for each cat.
Yes, for each cat with all the trim, with the a good sauce that goes with the fish right into a lemon basket.
Right, that sounds very charming, very charming. It will look beautiful, too, as well as taste.
Yes, very good and very beautiful and very colorful.
Uh-huh. You see, these cats will come from very wealthy homes, and of course it's got to be really elegant.
Couldn't we decorate the table, for instance, with one of these vegetable centerpieces that I arrange for banquets and for...
A vegetable centerpiece?
Yes, I mean, that would be most unusual. We can have any type of flowers of ribbon effect. Now, that would be a very beautiful thing.
Ribbon effect?
A ribbon effect with cats. The ribbons go very good with cats, as a rule.
Uh-huh.
Or sort of a long thread or a rope.
You don't think the cats will start to pull at it or anything? Like
well, if they did, it would be a lot of fun.
Do you suppose the cats would like some soup?
Yes.
I suppose.
We can have a little of sort of a biscuit. It's a very light little soup.
Light soup?
With cream and...
They like that.
They like that very much. I mean, we can give them a little of that before.
A light bisque. Perhaps a creamed lobster or something like that?
Yes, or oyster or any seafood. They would enjoy that very much.
Can we think of a dessert, perhaps? I mean, something to top off the dinner for. Really, something luscious.
Anything on the ice cream type would suit them very well, and most cats like ice cream.
Right. Is there some nice place cards we could arrange for them? You know, so the cats would be sitting in couples, you know, a man and a woman and then a lady cat and so on.
I think so.
How many people do you think we should have to serve this banquet?
Well,
very elegantly.
We should have two.
Two waiters?
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's all right. They don't need any after-dinner mints or anything like that.
No. I don't think that would be necessary.
You know, we may hold this party after all. We wouldn't want to break that caterer's heart. It's a pleasure not to buy an alarm clock. The alarm clock is one of the most dangerous weapons in the world. Never point one at anybody, because it's liable to go off and shatter all his dreams. And probably the reason we have different time zones is because of what might happen if all the alarm clocks in the world went off at the same time each morning. That's why it's a pleasure not to buy an alarm clock. Now, that careful shopper, the man with the hidden mic, presents as a public service this recorded lesson on what to look for when not buying a clock. And don't think you'll sleep through this lesson either.
Very unpleasant sound, don't you think? I can't seem to find the kind of alarm that I really like. I'm going to have to listen to this thing every morning.
Well, sir, you've looked at every clock in the place, and you've played with them all.
Well, could I hear some of these again, please?
Well, they're going to sound the same this time as they did before.
I know, but I've got to pick out a tone that's right for me.
They don't make these in tones, sir. They only...
Well, I mean, a sound that's right. Well,
try this one.
Is it broken? Something wrong with the thing?
No, that should alarm, sir.
Is that the way it works normally?
No, that works much better than this one. This is the one you played with.
Is that it?
That's the sound of the alarm, sir.
Now, tell me the truth. Do you like that sound?
Well, I think it's a very good sound to get up in the morning by.
Well, I don't. I'm sorry. I don't think that's a good sound. Could I hear this one again, please?
We'll listen to this one twice now, sir.
I know, but I've got to find the right tone.
I told you before, they don't come in tones.
Well, you keep on correcting me about that tone, whatever. Now, you see, that's what I mean. That's the note that it hits.
Well, that's an alarm clock, sir. It sounds like a clock.
I want something that'll be reasonably loud and yet not too raucous. Now, look at that thing. Isn't that terrible? Let me try.
I wouldn't say so. I said that's a very nice clock.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you...
Now, you've looked at this clock three times. You want to see it?
No, I only heard it once, and I'd like to hear the sound of it. Please, I'd like to compare the... Now, look at that thing. No, you can turn that off right now.
Well, maybe you'd like this one, sir. Very good of the clock. Has a nice alarm on it.
That's the most important thing.
Very nice alarm on this clock.
What's that?
This one has a very nice alarm, sir.
What is that, sir?
Sir, this one has a very nice alarm.
I wouldn't call that nice.
Well, that's one of the finest clocks we have, sir.
Maybe this electric clock has a tone that... We listened to this thing, but it sounded so soft before, didn't it?
No, it's going to sound the same way this time.
You having some trouble with it, huh?
Well, these are a little difficult to work. You see, they work different from the old alarm clock.
But if it's going to do that for me, I'll have to wake up an hour earlier to set it. Do you mind if I see how long these things ring when they're alarmed?
I have it fixed now, sir.
Have you got that one fixed now?
There's the alarm.
Oh, you can... Now you got it fixed, you can shut it off. That's that doorbell one. Do you mind if I just try these alarm clocks and see how long we can keep them running? I want to see how long they run when they're...
I don't mind you playing a wee clock, sir, but after all, this is a place of business.
I just want to test and see how long it takes for these things to run out, you see.
But, sir, you'll annoy the other customers if you leave them all on, you know? I'll have to shut this off, sir. I'm sorry.
What, is it wrong?
Yes, sir, I'll have to shut these clocks off. I can't have them all ringing at once in the store.
I want to test them, though. I want to see which one runs the longest.
Well, sir, you've tested them all now. I told you every clock I have in the place.
But what I want to see is how long will he... I like to work.
Oh, you can't turn it on.
I like to work a few of these at the same time, you see.
Well, I'd love to shut these off, sir. I'm very sorry.
No, I'll leave this one on for a second, Mark.
It's making too much noise, sir. We'll have to close them all down.
Why? I've got to hear the tone, sir.
Tried every clock in the place.
Well, I guess your clocks aren't very good, so I'll look someplace else.
That's the best thing for you to do, sir.
Thank you.
If you happen to tune in within the last few minutes and you are wondering about what's going on, we'd like to tell you that this is a program about everyday people. People like you or your neighbors are the performers you hear on Candid Microphone. We want to catch people in the act of being themselves. We never really try to pry into people's private lives or to record anything that is really none of our business. But because our business is capturing the honest reactions of the people we talk to, we make sure the Candid Microphone can hear... They say that if you wait long enough on some corners in New York, you'll meet everyone you ever knew. You're liable to meet some people you don't even want to know. Like the panhandlers. The men who play a sad tune on your purse strings, hoping for a handout. We heard from a friend about one enterprising panhandler who seemed to be thriving on his subtle touches. His friend suggested a certain corner where we might be able to record a man who had built a tale of woe into a nice business. We haunted the area a day and a half, trying our best to look like a soft touch, until finally, a sad-eyed, well-dressed man approached. Now, this record is in two parts. First comes the touch. Listen.
I beg your pardon.
Yes?
Do you mind if I ask you a question?
I'll go right ahead.
You may think I'm a rather beastly person, but you wouldn't happen to have some kind of a job for me. I'm just out of the Army. I need a job very desperately.
Well, I don't have any job.
Well, would you like to help me constructively?
Well, I'd do anything I can, but I don't have a job or anything like that.
Well, you see, I hate to ask you, but I was evicted my room 4 days ago. Would you take me to the YMCA and get me a room for a week?
To do what?
Take me to the YMCA and get me a room for a week.
I know, but I can't help you that much. That's probably quite expensive, isn't it?
$8.75 a week.
Well, I'd like to help you, but not $8.75.
Well, you let me have part of it, so I'm not to ask an expert for so much.
Will this help you any?
No, thanks. I'm sorry.
Well, won't this help you any?
I might just go off ATM now. Go out and get some of these recorded and then be just a bit off the end as I am now.
Will a couple of dollars help you in any way?
Well, it would. It'd help me a lot, if you don't mind.
Well, why is it that a quarter is no good at all and $2?
Well, a quarter, I can get something to eat, that's about all. But with $2, I can get a room for a couple nights at the YMCA.
Having been touched $2 worth by this sad story, the candid reporter started getting his money's worth. At first, the man was reluctant to reveal the inside story of his unusual profession. A trade secret is one secret that a man wants to keep, even when he doesn't seem to have any visible trade. But money talks, and a few extra dollars can make others talk, too. Listen now, as this same confidence man gets confidential.
You know, I really think you've got a very unusual approach to people, if you don't mind my saying. Do people frequently give you $2 or a quarter? Or...
Well, I've been given 10, I've been given 100, I've been given 25, I've been given 50.
Do you have to watch for certain kind of people?
Well, I usually pick on elderly men.
Elderly men? Would
yes, because they're more settled in their ways and they're more...
How about women?
No, I don't fool around with women. They're not so hot.
Is there any special way, if you dress in a special way, will it help you in any way?
No. Well, you see, I try to look as good as possible because Park Avenue is about the best. That's my office, you might say, you know?
Park Avenue, huh?
Yeah.
Can you work a certain corner for a long time, or how do you do that?
Well, I move around a lot.
So. Move around, huh?
Yeah, I pick out the Union League Club and the University Club and the Harvard Club and Princeton Club and stuff like that.
That sounds terrific. Have you worked throughout the country on this?
Yeah.
How's New York stack up with the other parts of the country?
Best in the country.
Best in the country?
Yeah.
What'd you say was the worst town for a touch?
Down around Texas.
They won't give you a thing, huh? And that's the panhandle. About how much can you average?
Oh, about $10 a day.
You can. Well, how long you work a week?
Oh, about 5 or 6 days a week.
You take off a day?
Oh, I only work about 3-4 hours a day.
In other words, you average about $50-$60 a week, and you work about 3-4 hours a day. All right. You take a regular vacation or anything like that?
No. I mean, I big off the side of Tulsa because that's where all the money is, see?
Beggars, according to this one, can be choosers. The man with the hidden mic has more nerve than a sore tooth. It took a little of both to get him to visit his dentist. But when the dentist was through, the candid reporter got permission to hang a small microphone among the other gadgets on the dental chair. The candid microphone picked up this bicuspid duet of a dentist's exploration in the molar regions. Now, sit still. This will only take 1 minute and 6 seconds, and it won't hurt you listeners a bit.
Open wide, please. That's fine. Now, let's see. Ah, just a minute now.
I'm just going to get out.
Just a minute, please.
I can not.
Come on.
Oh,
am I hurting you now?
I'm sorry.
I know, but there's a little cavity that's sort of deep right underneath an old silver filling. All right, here we go. What's the matter? Is that hurt you now? I'm sorry I'm hurting you. Why is it enough? Now, just a moment. I'm just getting started here now. Just one moment. I'm sorry. Is that too bad? I'm sorry. All right, here we go now. Now, no noise. I'm sorry. Miss Fidel, may I have a Novocaine here, please?
He thinks I'm opening this mouth again. He's crazy.
So remember, kiddies, see your teeth twice a day, brush your dentist twice a year. You may have got the idea by this time that the man with the hidden mic is a pretty outspoken fellow. Well, sometimes he is. He certainly was outspoken the other day by a man twice his age and half his size. This little man came into the office like a lion and went out like a lamb. Before this uninvited, uninhibited visitor was through, the man with the hidden mic had uncovered an unusual talent, and he could do nothing to cover it up again. Here, on a secret recording, is what one man had to say for himself. And for a lot of other things, too.
Did you want to see me?
Yes, sir. I just happened to be in the building working, and the people in the building heard my sounds, and they said I'm pretty good at it, and they told me to go up to this radio production. So I'll show you some of my sounds.
Wait a second here now. We don't need anybody like that. What is that supposed to be? It's
supposed to be a train.
I know, but...
Well, that's a train at Grand Central there.
What are you, a painter?
I'm a painter, but when I see people don't feel so good and I make them feel happy and they don't have to have a doctor, and my voice makes them well.
I'm sorry, Mr.
You want to hear a chicken?
We don't use any.
You want to hear a chicken lay an egg?
We don't use... I know, but we don't have...
Well, you want to hear a mule?
We don't... Are you painting right here in this building?
Right in the same building where you're...
Well, how'd you hear about me?
The people in the building.
Oh, well, you may be all right, but did they tell you we don't use any people like that?
Well, I'll give you a crow.
I don't need any crows. Look, mister, we don't use any actors at all. No professional people. We just use plain, ordinary people on the street. No animals, no anything like that.
Well, I could do an air raid if you want it.
An air raid? What good would we have for an air raid?
Well...
What do we need an air raid? Careful now. Don't strain yourself.
I'm out of
practice. We never use an air raid. What do we need an air raid for?
Well, just to scare the public while they're working if they want to get home early.
Well, we don't use that on the radio, do we?
I could do some snoring, so like a man said, sleeping.
Well, we don't need those things. I know. Well, anybody can do that, Mr. Well, you don't understand me. We don't use any sounds or any acts or any animals or any noises of any kind like that.
Well, I like it myself. I like to hear my own sound. When a man is happy and has a smile and do that sound and makes others happy, I feel happy myself.
What do what sound?
What I like, a train.
And when you do that, it makes you happy?
Yeah, and it makes them laugh. When they laugh, I laugh.
Well, that's a very good philosophy, and I'm sure you got a lot of talent, but... I'd like
it
to
ain't
be
a
able
talent.
To...
It's my future. See, my age is over 64, and I feel like 21 every time I do that sound and make others happy.
You do?
Yeah. I think I can do it to a tiger.
A what?
A tiger.
A tiger? Well, how am I going to use... It sounds like the snoring again. What is that? Sleepy?
That's a tiger once you get mad.
I thought it was sleeping.
No, a tiger, very, very, very bad tiger. I listened to the Central Park and I heard him say the same thing.
I can't do a thing for you.
Well,
See, we
I'm not sorry, but I feel just as happy if they don't use me, if they do use me, still I use my sound.
But you paint for a living,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I paint for a living as a pleasure, too, as my exercise. You do a girl, say, he's 12 years old.
What?
A girl of 12 years old talking to her mother. She wants to buy something I can...
Look, mister, why don't you just leave your name outside, and we'll call you if
listen,
we...
Listen,
we'll call you if we need you.
My mother
we'll
wants
call
to
you.
Buy...
If we have any need at all, if we have anything for you...
I only have 4 cents and I need a penny more.
I'll call you if there's anything...
And so, for tonight, we put the cover back on our candid microphone. Any resemblance to actual people is purely intentional. That's why no one ever knows when he's talking into the candid microphone.
The candid microphone is tailored for your enjoyment. And we want to have your candid comments about it. Is there someone you'd like to hear us catch in the act? Tell it to the man with the hidden mic. As all of you who've written us know, we will acknowledge all of your cards and letters. And don't pull your punches when you write us. Be candid. That's the way we like it. Write to Candid Microphone, in care of the American Broadcasting Company, New York 20, New York. We hope you'll be listening again next Sunday when we'll be heard over most of these ABC stations. On the staff behind the candid microphone are Joe Graham, Ralph Norman, Herb Exner, and John Larkin. Candid Microphone is a copyrighted Alan A. Funt production. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.